Oh, I just want to jump right in. Man, I played a lot of sports growing up, and some of my favorite times was right before the game would start. It always felt like you can just run right through a wall. Any athletes can relate? It always felt like, we practiced for so long, we've been conditioning for so long, just give me somebody to line up against. Just give me somebody that I can run to the hole one time and dunk on. Just give me something to do that involves me playing against somebody in live action. Amen? I would never, and family members of mine would never have looked at me and said, "Hey, you're going to preach at Life of Faith Bible Church one day." I was getting a kick out of that, and I'm still getting a kick out of it standing here. That Walter Lavelle Collins from Detroit, Michigan, from the hood, from junk, from garbage, from plastic bags on windows, to not knowing what he was going to eat, gets to stand before you tonight and preach the Word of God. What an honor it is to be able to stand here. And I tell you, I don't take it lightly. And with everything in me, I just want to bring whatever God has for you tonight, has for us tonight, in the way that he wants it to come out tonight. Amen? As if you're new, it doesn't look like I see any new faces, but I'll say this anyway for anybody live streaming. I am not Pastor Stephen Fraser. And for some, you'll be thankful that he'll be back next week. But praise the Lord that Pastor Steve and Pastor Gene are on a mission right now. And they're getting filled. They're getting full. They're getting charged and recharged. They're getting imparted to. They're getting messages. They're getting words for Life of Faith Bible Church and for the next season. You can be sure that that's what's taking place right now. I got a chance to talk to Pastor for a bit earlier, and I talked to Tabitha, my wife, for a minute. And she was like, "Well, what did Pastor say?" I'm like, Pastor is always pastor. And if you know him well enough, you know what I mean by that. It doesn't matter if he's thousands of miles away in Texas or he's standing right here in the pulpit. You can count on Pastor Steve to be Pastor Steve. And he's not just the best pastor I know, he's the best man I know. And it's an honor to be able to be asked to stand here. It truly is. So with that said, there's things that God wants us to get tonight. And I want to say that as strong as I can. There's things that God specifically wants us to get through the vessel, Walter Collins. So if you know me as brother, if you know me as whatever, look past the vessel that you see and listen to the gift tonight. Listen to the words and the anointing. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. And I would never thought I would say that and actually mean it. I'm like, you read the Bible and you read these verses, and it's like, yeah, that's good. That's true. I believe that. But is it true for me? Is it true for me? We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. We're going to talk about some vision. And just the very word of the word vision, people see it one way, others see it another way. When I say vision tonight, make no mistake that I'm talking about godly vision. I may not clarify it every time, but make no mistake about it, we're talking about godly vision and getting God's vision for our life. Amen? Let me pray before I launch. Hallelujah. Father, it's an honor to stand here. Thank you, Lord, for each one that has come, for each one that is watching, each one that's on their way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this be the message that you've given me to speak at the time you've imparted for us to get it. We thank you, Lord, that we don't leave anything on the table, that we eat fully from the buffet tonight. We eat fully the words that you speak tonight through your vessel, the words from your word for this time, Lord. We thank you that we get it all, that we receive the impartations tonight. We receive the impartations tonight that you want to expand the vision in this house. You want to enhance the vision and clarify the vision. And we thank you for it. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. in December, right after Christmas. Christmas is on a Monday. The very next service we had was on the 27th. I sat there right next to Brother Aaron, and this message was dropped into me. Not fully at the time. You guys know how this comes. But a few words. And I was like, wow, it's interesting how words come at different times. And from that time, day after day, the message continued to grow. And it continued to stir in me. So much so that, and I rarely do this, I texted Pastor. And I was like, man, Pastor, I just wanted to let you know. It was just really burning in me to let Pastor know this. This is how the Holy Spirit works. It's like, Pastor, I just got to let you know, and I got to let you know right now what this is. And I didn't give him all the specifics. I just said, you know, I got this word, blah, 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 blah. Well, little did I know, the day before, Pastor was praying, which, he, of course, he prays every day. But he was praying, and right away, he texted me back, would you like to minister that? And the first thought, the natural man was, no. I mean, just keep it real. We're going to keep it real tonight. I was just like, no. But that was about 5 seconds. Because the old me would have said no and meant it. And it would have just stayed no, because I would have stayed the shy, introverted guy and held on to this word regardless of anything. But God has stirred me to a different man, if you will. He's stirring us all. And he's increasing the vision in all of us. And he's been growing this vision in each and every one of us. It's not just about me. But he's been stirring this vision in me, obviously, since birth. And he says, tonight I want to enhance the vision of Life of Faith Bible Church. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Specifically, godly vision, as I said. So what is it? I heard somebody ask. Godly vision. Let me tell you what it's not. It's not sight. We all have the ability to see that sit in this place tonight. Webster defines sight as just the ability to see. Boring. Godly vision is the specific plan that God has for our life. Specific. We have the general will of God right here. You understand that this whole book is vision? This is a book of vision. From the moment that God steps on the scene, if you will, vision is started. A couple days ago, the Lord adjusted this message, and he continued to adjust it. So I'm like, I don't know where we're going to go tonight. I just know we're talking about vision. I got some notes. I had about 5 pages of them. I had about 5 pages of them until it kept getting stripped down and stripped down. And tonight we're just going to let God show us what we are to get tonight. You can turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk. I don't even know if I say that right, but Habakkuk chapter 2. Oh, can I keep it real with y'all tonight? I jack some of these Bible words up. Not quite like my wife does, but I can mess a word up from time to time. Hallelujah. But vision is not just what we see. It's the manner in which we see it. Vision is not just what you see, it's the manner in which you see it. What the Lord was stirring in me just a couple days ago was, in Genesis chapter 1, he begins to create the world, right? All of creation of the world takes place in one chapter. All of the creation of the entire world, including us, takes place in one chapter in the Bible. That's godly vision. God sees things on a bigger scale than we ever could, or we ever have allowed ourselves to. We were created in God's image, amen? So we are to start seeing things the way God sees things. God says, I can create a world in 6 days. I can do it because I have focused energy, focused vision, and then take a day off. So I can put this whole creation in one chapter for you in this Bible and outline this for you to understand how quickly things can be progressed, if you will, and how quickly God sees things. The world was created at light speed, and it hasn't stopped since. It's ever expanding. If you didn't know, now you know. The world is still evolving. Planets are still being discovered. Galaxies are still being created. As we speak, light speed is continuing to move. God is continuing to expand. What God wants to say tonight is, where's your vision? Where's your expansion? Where's your expansion? Amen? Everybody at Habakkuk? We're going to come back to this several times tonight. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. As I was thinking about vision and preparing for this tonight, a few quotes had jumped out to me. And I've heard a lot about sight all my life. And there's one particular quote from Helen Keller, which is a blind girl that was asked a question. They asked her, what could be worse than being blind, basically? What's the worst thing that could happen besides being blind? And her answer was to actually be born with sight but have no vision. To actually have the ability to see, but not be able to see. And I want you to think about that as we continue to go throughout this message tonight. We all are blessed with the God-given ability to see with these natural eyes of ours. We also have spiritual eyes. But we limit ourselves and allow ourselves to see only as far as certain things allow us to, if you will. P.K. Barnard said, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future or nothing to look forward to will always return to his past. A man without a future or anything to look forward to will always return to his past. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite scriptures. And in that, God says, for I know the plans that I have for you. I know them. And they're plans to prosper you. Plans to give you good and not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The prophet Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's look at this together. In verse 4, it says, then the Lord came to me, saying, this is Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew who you were. I already had a vision for you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This is a teenager he's talking to. Is that some vision? Is that godly vision? There's things that he's already called us to be before we even realize it. There's things and plans that he's already given for each and every one of us. It says, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. And of course, how we are, just like Jeremiah was. Lord, God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth. I hear you with that prophet thing. And don't you know where I come from? And don't you know how I used to stutter over every single thing and walk around looking at the ground and didn't want to interact with people? But God said, youth leader, thanks. Thanks. Thanks for that one. Youth leader. But I just wanted to get in the sound booth. All I wanted to do was serve in the sound booth. Actually, all I wanted to do was build a business. To be quite honest, I wanted to build a business. And God interrupted that. Let me back that up. I allow God to interrupt that. Because God wants to speak a lot of things to us. But because of our own vision for ourselves, and we got this because we're so good, we miss out on what he's saying a lot of times. So when God came and interrupted me, literally, saying, put that down, he didn't tell me what he had next. He just said, put it down. And very bluntly, either you're going to abandon these people or you're going to abandon me. It's an easy decision for me. By the grace of God, I will never abandon him. And I thank you for your mercy every single day. And we got to thank him for his mercy every single day. But I just wanted to serve in the sound booth. I'm serious. That's as far as I could see at the time. All I knew is that I wanted to serve God and that what I was doing no longer was okay because he wanted to interrupt that. I had no idea what he had next. That one day, oh, in 2018, I would stand here and preach. It amazes me. It's like, how much have I missed you in my busyness? How much have we missed God in our distractions? Because tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to have tunnel vision over television. Tunnel vision over cellivision, cell phones. What it means to have laser focus with God instead of temporary focus. You know, at the first of the year, what happens? Everybody gets excited at the first of the year, and praise God for it. We should. First of the year is like, I play video games with my son from time to time, admittedly. Most of the time, that's a Lego game, by the way. Legos. In fact, he don't want to play the game unless he plays with dad. So, that's another story. But, as I was thinking about this message tonight, you know, there's things in this game that you do, and you reach these things called checkpoints. Checkpoint is just a save point. It's a halfway point on a level, basically. And I was thinking about how God stirs up vision in each and every one of us. There's a full-term, long-term vision for all of us, and it's called heaven. But we're not laying around in our beds because we're saved. Like, oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven one day, so I'm going to just lay here and chill. No, there's some checkpoints along the way. There's some work to do along the way, right? There's some smaller visions to the ultimate vision. How about some checkpoints? Like this podium. I want you to focus on the podium tonight, for a little bit at least. Let's call this podium a checkpoint. Let's go back to Habakkuk. Checkpoints on the way to our destination, our long-term destination, which is heaven. Because ultimately, we all should be stirred up about heaven. Every single day we should be stirred up about heaven. I'm so stirred up about heaven that I want to see more people go to heaven. I'm so stirred about heaven that I don't want to see people get robbed of it. And I don't want to see the vision of God blurred. So tonight, how about we just do one of these real quick and straighten it out one time. Let's straighten out this vision. Amen? In Habakkuk chapter 1, it says, I will stand my watch. The easy part about vision is getting it. The easy part about vision, honestly, is getting it. Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. There's some expectation there, right? He's expecting God to speak to him. Every single day we should be looking for God to speak to us and actually spending some time focused directly on him in that tunnel vision. God, what are you speaking to me today? What's the checkpoint for the day? Not just for January 1st every single year. Because right about this time, the 17th, some people have forgot about the vision for the year. But you was just excited 2 weeks ago, bro. But, you know, this bill came and, man, I want to have this cake, but I know I set this diet for the year. That's where I was in 2017. Earlier in the year, God had gave me a bit of a mandate to start getting fit. And I got excited about it. And I did it for a little bit. And then the vision got blurred. Is there a cover cloth over there? Then the vision got blurred. I'm just going to do this on the fly. I was up and down like for half of the year. This was a mandate from God, by the way. I know I'm talking to several of y'all about the same thing. I'm sure God ain't mandating nothing for you, but so He basically said, get fit. And he gave me some scripture. So I did it for a period. Mike Harris can attest to it. Then I put it down. Then I did it for a period. Then I put it down. Now, granted, I was always lower than where I started the year at. So that's how I made myself feel better. I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I could be either. I'm doing just enough to not get mad. I'm doing just enough to actually be obedient, somewhat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, I had some drastic moments, too, in the year. Like in August, I stopped eating meat for a bit, and even at a conference, I told a pastor, a very well-known pastor, that had the same mandate from God about what God had told me. It's not that he didn't tell it to me. It's just, this is the vision, right? But sometimes what happens is self-imposed distractions cover up the vision. And it starts to get a little cloudy from time to time. I want this cookies and cream ice cream, brother. I gotta have it. Self-imposed. whatever it may be. But, you know, next week I'm excited. I remember what God said. I spent some time with God. So, vision's back on. I got it again. 2 weeks later, man, that chocolate ice cream. I'll only have a couple of scoops, though. So, I can still see the vision. I can still see it. Not fully obedient, but I'm doing the right thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's what we do. Over and over again. That's what we begin to do. Habakkuk said, I'm going to stay on my watch. And I'm going to wait to see what God says. And I will answer when I'm corrected. When I'm corrected. I'm expecting him to correct me. In chapter 1, he was challenging God with some questions, some tough questions. I expect God to correct me because of these questions I asked. And of course, the Lord does what he always does, and that's answer. God is always speaking. The only question is how are we answering, or if we're even tuned in to answer. Tunnel vision. Having tunnel vision. There was this goofy movie I watched years ago, and I won't say tell you the name of it, but you'll figure it out. Some of you will. There was this image every time this guy would get on his motorcycle. He was a racer, and every time he'd get on his motorcycle, he would lock in, so to speak, and it was game on. It's like, forget everything else. I'm locking in, and there was this image they would show, and it was of a tunnel, and it was, I can see the finish line, even though it's not in my sight. God knows the end before the very beginning. He knows the end. Called Jeremiah to be a prophet as a teenager. I already know that you're going to be a prophet, regardless of what you think and how you think you speak or can't speak. I've already set this up. You just need to walk this out and know that I'm with you. This guy would get on his bike, and he would lock in, and tunnel vision would kick in. And forget about everything else. It's, I see the finish line. I see myself crossing it. No matter what happens on this road in between now and then, no matter what bumps, no matter what comes my way, I know I'm going to hit this finish line. And it was the goofiest non-acting movie, but that's the only part that I really remember from it. But tunnel vision. And what tunnel vision to me is just getting godly vision and getting some focus about me and saying, I'm locked in, and I'm locked in for this plan that you've called me to. Yes, heaven is my destination, but there's some checkpoints along the way. There's some things that you would have me to do, some things that you would have us to do as a body of Christ, as a body of Life of Faith Bible Church. There's some things that I would have for you to do as a church member of Life of Faith Bible Church, hooked up with the vision of Stephen Fraser. There's some things that you're called to do, as a member of this church, whether you understand it or not. Whether you come on Wednesdays or come on Sundays or both, whether you serve in helps or you fill a seat, whether you serve just to give a gift of offering, whatever it may be, there's a place for you too. There's a position for you to be. There's a vision that God has called for you. The vision is the bridge between now and what's to come. The vision is the bridge between the present and the future. It's the link. I thank the Lord that he's been expanding my vision my whole life, because all I saw when I was growing up, and I talk a lot about myself because I know myself. And he's been stirring vision in me my whole life, even when I was where I was in Detroit. And some of y'all can relate to wherever you are right now. Your vision, I mean, where you are right now is not where I was. But, yeah, growing up, the way I grew up and the stuff that I saw back then and didn't see, the stuff that I heard, the things that I didn't hear, like the word love, all the while, even though I was in the mess, so to speak, and in the storm, I never felt like I was going to stay in it. Something inside me always knew that there was something bigger. And something else is coming at some point in my life. So as I began to grow, and as a teenager, I started to speak certain things. This is before I ever really even understood the Bible good. There were certain scriptures that I knew and that comforted me, but I didn't really know the Bible at all. But as a teenager, I constantly would say the same things over and over again. When I'm 30, I'm going to be such and such. When I'm 30, I'm going to be this. When I'm 30, I'm going to have a son and have a child and blah, blah, blah. Braylon came at 31, by the way. But what God stirred in me was a vision for my future. Little did I know it would involve Austin, which was my first son. You think about your life and where you are right now, and the things that God has called you to, that you know about, and ask yourself, are you really pursuing it? And are you pursuing it the way with the clear vision, without the black podium, without the veils, without the blockage? Are you pursuing it from a standpoint of full obedience? Or are you just playing games? Are you pursuing the vision that God has called you to with your whole heart, the way that God wants us to? Because if you don't know, things are speeding up very fast. And I think the reason, and I don't think it, I know it, the reason that God gave this to me, the way he gave it to me, is to understand that our vision needs to increase and increase right now. Not later, not tomorrow, right now, in this moment. The vision for your life as an individual, the vision for your family, the vision for your work, the vision for this church, the vision that you have for it, because not pastors. His vision's already out there and stretched. In case you didn't know, spend some time with him. I thought it was the coolest thing that when this place was built, phase two, when this was built, and I got a chance to sit with Pastor, and we're talking about this for a minute. He whips out this big fat binder for plans for phase three. This was when phase two just got completed. This building, this was before the sanctuary even opened. And I remember how excited he was for the next phase. You know what I'm talking about. For the next phase. He wasn't looking past this. But what God was saying through him was, there's more. There's another level. There's another checkpoint, so to speak. That's the church as a whole. And that's where we're going as a whole. And it's okay to hook up with that. It's okay to hitch up to that. That's a good place. If you didn't know, this is good ground. That's a good place to sow into. Ask yourself, where's the vision impaired coming from in my life? You ever heard that phrase, vision impaired? Mm-hmm. Just means something's blurry, something may be causing the vision to get off track, so to speak. A lot of our vision impaired is self-imposed. Sometimes it's in the form of, like I said, instead of tunnel vision, it's television. And I thought it was a funny thing, but I'm like, yeah, it's true. And I'm not saying television is bad, but if it's robbing you of your godly vision, shut it off. Right. I'm not saying it's bad, but most of what's on it is bad. So if the most that's coming into you is bad, then yeah, vision impaired. Trust. Maybe the distraction is the cell phone that's causing you to be vision impaired. I talk a lot about this cell phone thing with the youth because I believe it's the number one blockage of a human being today. It's not the devil. The devil don't have any power with us. Because as we talk to the devil, we talk from this standpoint. Because he knows his place. So our vision impaired is really a self-imposed thing. The cell phones that we love so much. And again, I love technology, man. I'm a technology fan. I got a little tablet right here, right now. I got a cell phone, smartphone. But the smartphone is not to dull me down. The smartphone is not to make me dumb. Because the word says I have the mind of Christ. God spoke to Habakkuk and said, write the vision. Write the vision. Write the vision, write the vision, write the vision. At the start of the year, the Lord had me sit down with my family for the first time. This was the coolest thing. He showed me a picture about the same time that I got the word in December. He showed me a picture of sitting down with my family. And we sat down and we wrote some vision. We wrote some goals down. And we got on the same page. And it was the coolest thing to sit at the table with Tabitha, Austin, and Braylon. And we talk about the things that are in our heart, to talk about the things that for a family, what God is stirring, and to give them the vision that I have for the family and also the things that I see for my church. Because this is my church. Mm-hmm. My church, my pastor, ownership, mine. If you don't say my, it's not yours. Right. It's not just the church. It's my church. Right. Life of Faith is my church. Because I view it that much higher. I put some value on it. It's time to get a higher vision for what you have for your church and what you have for your pastor. I so love how he stirred pastor to preach about the benefits of a shepherd. You know how much of a challenge that is for a man? Just the man. I'm not talking about the pastor. That you have to be in the flow with God to be able to deliver a message like that? Week after week? And remove self? That is awesome. I'm like, God, you put me in this place? But if you told me I was going to preach, I would have left a long time ago. Because I just wanted to come and fill a seat. And then I just wanted to come and get into the sound booth. And then I wanted to come and fill a seat on Sunday and Wednesday. And then I wanted to get connected and serve in the usher team. And then I wanted to make sure I was giving every single week the way I'm supposed to give because my vision kept getting expanded. Yeah, yeah. Then I wanted to make sure I looked like the pastor. I look like the pastor, mirroring the pastor, because my vision for myself is coming up. Body of Christ, it's time to come up. It's time to expand the way you see yourself and see yourself the way God sees you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you. Man, I'm so over the word lack and just the representation of it. It's just disgusting to me. Just the very thought of lack and the way I grew up and what got embedded into me, that you'll always have this and you'll never have that. Lies, lies, and more lies. Lies. Lack. Lies. Because I started getting a higher vision for myself. When the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, I shall not want, I shall not be in need of anything. that I have every single thing I have need of, that my God shall supply according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because my vision kept coming up for myself, for my family, for my church, for my life. It's time to get some expanded vision. Checkpoint. Check it off. Say, okay, I know in 2017 I had this struggle. And I know in 2017 you said this to me. I know in 2016 you said this to me. But in 2017 I did the same thing. In 2018, come on. I said, come on, family. It's time to come up. It's time to come up. I struggled with the same stuff over and over again until it got disgusting to me. Until it was enough is enough. Either I believe that this whole Bible is true or none of it is. Either the whole thing is true or the whole thing is a lie. You can't pull what you want out of the Bible, live one way, and talk another way. That says a double-minded man is unstable. It's time to get some tunnel vision. That means single-minded. We've been double-minded long enough. And the mandate that's on this church says there's no more delays. That we're stepping into the year of fulfillment. That every single promise, David Mogadati, that he's promised you comes true. Every single plan that he gave you comes true. Every single word comes true. Every single promise. Man, I love when Brother Aaron gets up there and sings that yes and amen. Every single promise is yes and amen. It's just something about my brother standing up there and singing. I love how God has stirred vision in the people. And I stand up here and laugh just at the very thought of how the enemy used to try to put the blockage in my mind of that brother. That you could never be Brother Aaron. You know, Brother Aaron is pastor's right-hand man. And blah, 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 and blah, 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 and lies, lies, and more lies. You can just replace me with you and how the devil's tried to lie to you. Angie, you're always going to have this. You're never going to be able to move into this. Lies, lies, and more lies. Man, I'm having fun laughing at the devil. You thought you would leave me in the streets of Detroit. I'm still standing. You thought you were going to leave me homeless and without food. I'm 6'5", 250 and dropping, by the way. And I eat the word every single day. My vision is expanded and it's getting expanded every single day. Higher and higher, he's calling us. Higher and higher, he's calling us. Higher and higher, he's calling us. Higher and higher, church, he's calling us. From the very beginning, God imparted vision into us. From the very beginning, it's be fruitful and multiply. God is not the God of subtraction and division. It's addition, it's multiplication. It's time to multiply like never before. It's time to multiply. And that's not just multiplying with goods. That's multiplying our health. Yes. We should be over walking around broken down and beaten down. Lies, lies, and more lies. Stop it. Don't be a troublemaker. Blessed, beloved, you are to be in good health and prosper just as your soul prospers. Good health, not broken down. Man, I'm loving this Sunday series that our pastor has been in and talking about the body parts. And I just feel myself getting stronger. My birthday is tomorrow, and I feel stronger than I ever have. I'm about to turn 41 and I feel like I'm got the bones of a 14-year-old. And I mean that from a standpoint of my youth is being restored. Yeah. I'm getting more and more refreshed. I'm getting more and more excited. what's God speaking to my pastor right now in Texas? I can't wait to get with my pastor so I can get some more of that vision from my pastor. If you run from him when you see him, catch yourself. Spend some time with your pastor. It's good for you. Amen. Catch myself. Thank you, Lord. Nice, Walter. Nice, Walter. Praise the Lord. Where we at? Y'all getting something?
Yeah.
I know I am. Praise the Lord. Man, Mark 11, 22. In this verse, Jesus says to have faith in God. What I learned here recently, and what the Lord continued to stir in me, was that vision and faith are married together. You can almost replace vision with faith every single time in the Bible. Almost. Because this is translated, have the God kind of faith. Not just have faith in God, but have the God kind of faith. Because we're made in the image of God. So we're supposed to have the God kind of faith. Amen? Can we agree? So, if we're to have the God kind of faith and we're created in the image of God, how about the God kind of vision? Is that okay? The God kind of vision. The God kind of vision that says, I can create the world in 6 days and then take a day off and chill. Not, I'm going to take a day off and chill, then go do some work. Not, I'm going to create 3 days, then take a break, then get back to it, then take a break. It's, I got work to do. Things are moving so fast, and I want this done now, so I'm going to move now. That way that I can rest when the work is done. When the work is done. Not when the work is halfway done. I was talking about last year and my lack of commitment. Let's put it that way. My lack of commitment in the area of the weight loss. And how many times the reminders were coming to me. And how many different ways that it showed up. Not just in the eating, but it showed up in the work. That it showed up in the prayer time. That it showed up in the word time. You can't be undisciplined in one area and think you're disciplined in another. You can't think you got vision here, but allow yourself to have sight over here. The podium. At some point, you just got to start looking past the podium, because God says there's more. There's a bigger podium for you to look at. There's something more for you to see. But you got to get past the way you see things and get over to the way God sees things. You got to get past the limited vision and get God's vision. When you start getting God's vision, everything starts to expand. And you start to see clearer. You start to see further. You start to see higher. You start to hear better. You start to hear clearer. Because you're allowing God to shape the vision instead of you. You're allowing God to expand the vision instead of you. I thought about this in Genesis chapter 12. Actually, go to Genesis chapter 13. I'm not going to say hold your place, but you can hold your place in Habakkuk. No. Genesis chapter 13. Another thing that causes vision to be impaired and vision to be limited, let's forget about the devices. Because sometimes it's people that cause you to have the vision impaired. And in Genesis chapter 13, since I left the Bible down there, if you can pull up verse 15. Hallelujah. What happens is God is giving instructions to Abram. in chapter 12. Actually, I'm going to back up to chapter 12, and I'm going to read this verse. It says, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." God gives part of a vision in chapter 12. He starts giving part of a vision. Sometimes he gives part of a vision. Sometimes he doesn't give you the fullness of a vision in order to protect you. But you don't get to the full vision if you don't even hit the checkpoint of the first one. You can't get the fullness of the vision if you don't allow yourself to get the checkpoint of the first part of the vision. If you haven't done what God has told you to do first, what makes you think he's going to do that next thing and show you something new? Oh, God, I need you to do this for me. I'm looking for you to do this for me. But did you do that thing I told you last week? You know, that little thing. Were you faithful with that little thing? In order for us to get the fullness of the plan sometime, got to execute on the small part of the plan first. Then in chapter 13, as we fast forward a bit, one of the vision impaired things happen here. Verse 14. "And the Lord said to Abram again," watch this part, "after Lot had separated from him." So he waited for Lot to separate himself to Abram in order to give Abram the rest of the plan. Because if you back up a few verses, there was strife taking place. There was strife taking place in the camp, if you will, between some herdsmen. So in order for me to give you the fullness of the rest of this, we got this on hold for you. It's still the plan for you. But until this person separates themselves, I'm not going to give you the rest of this. In your life right now, there may be somebody you need to separate yourself from. There may be some well-meaning people that you need to distance yourself from in order to get the fullness of the plan. Are you willing to abandon some people in order to get the fullness of the plan? I told you what God did to me and how God led me. Are you willing to say, you know, I'm going to follow you no matter what it takes? I'm going to follow you, Lord, no matter what the cost. I'm going to follow you, Lord, no matter what people think. I'm going to follow you, Lord, no matter what people say about me, because I'm not afraid of what people say. I'm not living my life to be a people pleaser. I'm living my life to be a God pleaser. I love people, but I will leave you in a minute for God all day long. But right here in verse 14, after Lot had separated himself, "Lift up your eyes now and look from here." Southward, eastward, westward, northward. I got all this for you. And now that you've cleaned out the closet, so to speak, let's go. What do you need to clear out in order to start seeing bigger and start seeing the bigger podium? Because past the podium is a big screen. There's even more to see past this checkpoint. I got phase two for you, Life of Faith Bible Church. It looks great. It's awesome. But let me tell you about phase three. Oh, you understand that the plans are already there? They're already done. And it's not Pastor taking a crayon or a pen and actually writing it out. Listen. These are professionally done from an architect, pristine plans for the next phase. For the next phase, as awesome as this is, I want to see the next phase of Life of Faith Bible Church come to pass, and I want to see it come to pass immediately. Because I know what that means for people. Not for seeing a building. Thank God for the building. And because things are done the right way in this place, the building will always be awesome. Because the standard of excellence is so high in this place, this will always be excellent. This will always be awesome. But there's a mandate. There's a vision. Jesus comes onto the scene and starts immediately imparting vision. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4 real quick. I thought this was so cool that the Lord showed me. In Matthew chapter 4, hallelujah, in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The first words he said to these guys, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I see you casting your nets into the sea. But if you follow me, we'll cast a bigger net for men. I'm going to impart some vision to you. You understand how crazy you got to be to just drop everything? Or something on the inside of you just has to agree with it and say, "I don't know this man from Adam, so to speak, but something about his words stirred me. Man, Lord, I know you called me to be this youth leader, and it's crazy to me, but something about just following you makes sense, because I know you'll never steer me wrong, that your plans are to give me a hope and a future. I don't know how to talk. I stumble a lot. I stutter. I spit when I talk sometimes, but I'll follow you, and I'll be faithful to that, and as long as you give me the words, I'll speak them. And I may not do a whole lot of things right, but I'll always trust you and follow you." Vision expanded. And what it sounds so crazy right here, and even in verse 20, it says immediately they left their nets and followed them. There was no hesitation. They didn't even have to stop and think about it. The first, 8 words that Jesus speaks when he sees them. And they leave their livelihood. You understand that there's something inside that had to resonate. And I don't have to stop and think about it. God said it, I'm gone. Verse 21 is even more crazy to me. Because it says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. I'm leaving my stuff and my dad because I got to follow God. And they didn't even know he was God at the time. But just something on the inside had to click. Vision was expanded immediately in these guys. It had to be in order for them to leave their livelihood and leave their dad. The first time the Lord had me stand up and speak a word to the youth, he gave me a vision right in front of this place and said, "There will be a conference for the youth." It took 4 years, but it happened last year in 2017 at a conference called Immerse. Checkpoint. But immediately, he said, "That's not it, because you saw a picture of the sanctuary filled with teenagers. And with everything in me, I know it's coming to pass." Checkpoint. Check it off the list. Because if God said it, if he showed it to you, if you remain faithful, he's going to bring it to pass. If you don't get weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9. Because it's coming in due season. Oh, and what my pastor said is there's no more delays. And I take my pastor's word for it, because he's led by the Spirit of God. And for me, it's no more delays. How about you? It's no more delays. Checkpoint. Podium. Moving on to phase 3, though, baby. There's some land to the right of me. There's some trees behind me that God says... Vision expanded. Life of Faith Bible Church. Hook up. Hook up. Listen, this property don't stand a chance. That's ours. This property don't stand a chance. That's ours. These trees behind me don't stand a chance. That's ours. Dr. Varallo stood here, seems like just yesterday, and talked about a campus. That was Dr. Varallo, right? Okay. I was like, man, I study so much. I'm like, is that Dr. Varallo? Yeah. She said campus. Whatever that means to me is just big. Whatever your picture of a campus is, it's big. How big can it be? She also said millions of dollars coming into this ministry. I remember that too. Every time a word is spoke, I wrote it down. Every time a vision is imparted to this place, I write it down because it's my church. Every time something is spoke to Pastor Stephen about the future and what's to come, I hook up because that's where my family's going. And I'm not getting left behind. And if you want to get left behind, I'll take yours too. Because God knows what I'm going to do with it. And I don't say that out of greed. I say that because somebody needs to put it to use. And it might as well be your brother. Amen? Vision expanded. It's time to get a higher vision. It's time to see ourselves bigger in God than we've ever seen before. Because that's what he's calling us to. That's what he's called us to do, man. There's more people out here that need to be sitting under this teaching. There's more people that need to be sitting under this anointing. Would you get out from your own self and go shake a hand? Would you get from behind the fear of talking to people and actually say hello? And let God come out, give him something to work with, and he'll work? Give him something to work with. I'm just a lump of clay in the potter's hands, but I believe he makes a masterpiece. I'm just the guy from Detroit that he didn't leave on the street because I said, I follow you. And I'm having more fun than I ever have in my entire life, even speaking to you tonight. This is fun, but it's funner when you're winning. It's not fun to be losing. You're not called to lose. Yeah, we have moments where we lose. We got moments where we get knocked down. But you better not stay down. It's time to get up. As Pastor would say, get up, Rock. Get up off the canvas. You've been down long enough. It's the year of fulfillment. You might as well step into it. No more delays. Amen? No more delays. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. It doesn't get any better than the place you sit right now. I mean this church. Y'all know that? It doesn't get any better than where we sit right now and where I stand. This is the best there is. You got to take advantage of what you have. You may not feel like you're the best. Just hook up with the best. And then you start believing you can be the best. And then you become the best. You may not think that you're much or worth much, but God says you are. You may think 2018 may be the same as 2017. Why don't you hook up with somebody that sees it further and sees it greater until you do? But if you won't even tithe to the church you called to, you ain't hooked up. You're lying to yourself. Lies, lies, and more lies. If you won't even give to the place that God has called you to, this awesome place, to the awesome words. Pastor, that's an awesome word. Oh, you brought the fire tonight. But I ain't bring nothing to the plate. I ain't bring nothing to the altar. I ain't even bring my faith to take notes. That ain't your pastor. Yet. That becomes your pastor when you hook up with him in that way. This becomes your church when you hook up to the church that way. This is obviously inspiration. There's more to do. Life of Faith Bible Church should be 100% tithers. There's so many people that come into this house for special meetings and conferences that talk about the excellence of this place, that talk about the excellence of the pastors, that talk about the excellence of the worship team, talk about the excellence of the helps team, of the ushers, of the greeters, the excellence of the way that the chairs are set, the excellence of the way that these things are done. There's no balls dropped. What about the excellence in the giving? The things that they don't see when they come in here that we know in our heart. What about the excellence of giving? Of putting the money where the mouth is? Amen? It's time to get a higher vision and expand the way you see things. Because once you do, all of heaven belongs to you. In heaven, on earth. Man, I'm excited about seeing days of heaven on earth right now in my life. Not just in one single area, in every area of my life. Life of Faith, in every area of our life, we are to be seeing heaven on earth. God should be showing up in our finances. God should be showing up in our health. God should be showing up in our children. God should be showing up in our workplace. God should be showing up in our families. God should be showing up in our car, not the radio all the time. God should be showing up in every single thing that we do. That means vision is expanding. When people start complimenting you in everything that you do, it ain't you, it's God in you coming out. Coming here tonight, I'm like, Lord, anointing in me and upon me, let it come out. I just want to remove the water as much as I can because I got a lot of him still in me. Praise God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet? Because, man, I'm excited. I'm just excited about my God. I'm just excited about what he's doing in this place. I'm excited about what he's doing tonight. The impartations of expansion that's happening. Everybody say an impartation of expansion of godly vision has happened to me tonight. Has happened to me tonight. It's not about it will happen. If you would believe, if you only believe, we can move mountains. The mountain of debt. The mountain of cancer. The mountain of whatever. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every mountain shall fall. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for vision expanding in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.